Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the People Processes Podcast, where we dive deep into the tools, laws, and yes, processes that you need to know in order to scale and grow your organization. On this podcast, we help you structure your business processes to make your people your organization's greatest competitive advantage. Don't forget, you can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and pretty much any podcatcher of your choice. You can also subscribe at peopleprocesses.com, which will give you exclusive subscriber-only content. Here is your host, Rami Alagil, author and CEO of People Processes.
Welcome back to another episode of the People Processes Podcast. I'm your host, Rami Alagil, CEO of People Processes, and today we're diving headfirst into a topic that is not just relevant for business owners and HR pros, but for every worker out there with a side hustle. We're diving deep into a question I've gotten quite a few times in the last few weeks. Can you both be an employee and an independent contractor at the same time? Buckle up, because we're going to unravel the intricacies of this scenario. In general, if a current employee takes on extra work for an employer, the work must be evaluated against the DOL and IRS factors that I've covered in many other videos. Check out our independent contractor versus employee video that came out just a few months ago. If that evaluation shows the employer remains in control of the individual in that secondary role, the work is merely an extension of the employee's employment duties, and the employee cannot be classified as an independent contractor for the extra work. In contrast, if those factors show that an independent contractor relationship exists, the employer would choose to treat that worker as an independent contractor just for that extra work. This is most commonly seen when an employee has an established outside business. Quick recap, those factors are based around behavioral control. How much does the company, the employer, have the right to control what the workers does and how they do that job? Financial control, does the business director control the financial and business aspects of the worker's job? How the worker is paid, expenses reimbursed, can you hire helpers, who provides the tools, supplies, and the relationship of the parties. Are there written contracts? Are there employee benefits? Will the relationship continue indefinitely, or is it just a project? Is the work performed a key aspect of the employer's business? Those are all key factors that you have to think about. Let's assume that you do that analysis. An example would be an employee may have an office cleaning business and may clean the employer's offices in the evening through that business. Maybe during the day, they're a marketing manager, but they have a cleaning business and they solicit their employer and say, hey, I got this cleaning business. Why don't you hire our team to come in and do that? In this instance, the worker determines how the cleaning work is done. The worker stands to make a profit or take a loss. The work performed is not a key aspect of the employer's business. You could 1099 them. Now, example that came from my clients just in the last little while, I've got a school. The school has, 100, 120 teachers and administrative staff, et cetera. And they want to run an after-school program. So during the day, we've got these teachers and they're paid salary, right? Because they're FLSA exempt. So you've got these salary teachers and they want to set up so that, hey, in the afternoon, we want to run, or in the evening, we want to run a 3-hour long, PE gym thing, you know, so kids can stay later after school if they need to. And what we want to do is pay those employees, those teachers, we want to give them an extra $150 every time, or I don't think it was 100, maybe it was 150 for every two they took, something like that. For every two classes they teach in a week, PEs that they instruct in the afternoon, we'll pay them that extra $150. And they're saying, look, this is totally outside of what we hired them to do. The teachers are supposed to teach from 9 to 5. They teach, you know, they teach physics or math. But if they want to hang out after school and supervise this PE class, and we pay them as 1099s for that. Every class they teach, we give them $75, their money, they deal with their taxes. And the reason they want to do that is because they don't want to screw around with the FLSA. They don't want to make these salaried employees have a bunch of variable pay, right? Because you're not supposed to pay the salaried people extra for working extra hours or less for working fewer hours. That's the same thing. So they're like, we'll pay them a salary and then we'll 1099 them at the end of the year for, you know, these classes or these PEs that they do at the afternoon. Well, knowing what we just discussed, the question comes down to, is that work after school very different Are they really an established business? Are they a business that you're hiring to do work that's not a core function of your business, the employer's business, and that is very different than what they do during the day? And the answer, of course, is no, right? What we did is a little bit of research. We found, for example, that there are cases where this has been done, but it's for very specific instruction. So for example, you're a physics teacher during the day, and at night, you actually run a violin instructor, right? You maybe have you teach a couple kids how to play violin. Even though it's both teaching, the instruction during the day is very focused, and the instruction during the night is very different. And basically, with conjunction with their lawyers, they said this is different enough that we could make it happen, but we have to make sure the employees or the workers now have an opportunity for profit and loss and have an outside business. It only works because this physics teacher happens to also teach violin to a bunch of other students not related to the school, right? She has an outside business. But you can't just say, oh, all teachers and teachers' assistants who, especially this was a elementary school. If you do after school work, we're going to give you a 1099. The difference is too simple. I mean, there's no real difference, or there's not enough difference between the two. The school still wants to exert control over how they teach. They'll put together a EE curriculum. All those things mean that this is employment duties, not independent contractor. Some other good examples. A production worker in a factory is laid off due to a slowdown in the warehouse. The individual begins doing janitorial work for a few local companies and provides the services to the same company from which they've been laid off. In this situation, the individual would receive a W-2 for the time they worked as an employee and a 1099 for the janitorial work later on. We see this sometimes when we have companies that go through layoffs, right? They're looking for other ways to do it. So maybe they had, again, a marketing manager and they've laid off their marketing team, right? And then 6 months later, that marketing person has set up their own business. It's still in the same calendar year. And you hire that business to design a new logo or run a specific ad campaign. Very similar job, but now that person's got an outside business. They have a bunch of other clients. They have the opportunity for profit and loss. You can 1099 them. Here's the thing to understand, though. When you're looking at this, I need you to err on the side of it not working. When you issue a 1099 and a W-2 to the same tax ID, same social security number in the same year, the IRS automatically, at the computer level, flags this as an audit concern. If you do a bunch of them, or just a large amount of them, or for whatever reason your number comes up, you will be audited. You need to really be able to justify that this is outside the scope of their employment duties and that they are an independent contractor based on those independent contractor tasks that we talked about, or tests that we talked about. A few other examples that we've gotten. An IT help desk associate who works at the IT help desk during the day, performs graphic design work as a side gig, could have a dual classification if their employer contracts with that individual to create a new logo for the company outside their job duties, a different skill set. And the key, they have a side gig. This particular person was on Upwork and they did a bunch of logo design work for other companies. And then when their company needed a new logo, they were like, yeah, sure, we'll go through Upwork and hire this guy. No problem. I actually don't think they went through Upwork. I think they just paid him and issued him a 1099. Here's one that came up. This is actually from an SS8 inquiry. Oh, you can always file, by the way. There's a form called Form SS-8. You send it to the IRS. You describe what's going on, and the IRS will give you a response that says whether they think this should be an employee or an independent contractor. It takes a while. Okay. And you need to be very clear in what you submit. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to answer. So you may want to have a lawyer help you craft that. You really don't know the answer. You can always submit a Form SS-8. This is normally used for larger businesses that are looking for a bunch of independent contractors, right? Like a roofing company who wants to hire, I don't know, people to knock on doors was one I saw. It's like they're going to knock on doors and sell roofing stuff. And they make this a person, an independent contractor, if they also have to do some roofing repair work when they're out doing that. Complicated cases. Form SS-8 worth checking out. Anyway, another example, an electrician who does handiwork after hours in the community was actually approved to have a dual classification when the individual was contracted with their employer to replace the company's roof. They determined, hey, a roof replacement is a project. The guy's going to quote a price. He could lose money on it. He could win money on it. He does kind of work like this for other people. And an electrician is a very different job than a roofer, even though they're both in construction. Another common issue, this actually was a suit that we found. A custodian who works for a public school, right? So he's like a cleaner at the county public school. He owns and operates his own snow plowing service on nights and weekends, totally separate. He was issued a Form W-2 and for his custodian position, and at the same time, when the county contracts with the individual for snow plowing, and that's an independent contractor arrangement, right? So they were able to issue both. But if you don't see in your scenario real separation, and then you got to look at them: are they going to pass the independent contractor test with their behavioral financial controls, and the relationship of your parties? Then you can't do it. Okay. Wrap up a little bit and do a recap. The dual existence of an employee and an independent contractor, it's like dancing on a tightrope. It's possible, but precision is key. And just like any dance, it takes a little finesse. It takes good documentation. You need to really evaluate this. And the default answer should be no. Even though the IRS says it's possible, the likelihood is that when people come to me with this question, I answer no 95% of the time. Because rarely is it, hey, I've got an employee who's got a real side business and we want to hire that side business. 99% of the time, it's like that school who's like, I've got employees. I want them to do more work that we want to 1099 them for. And during that time, they're basically still employees, right? It's very important that you look at those analysis pieces, the IRS factors for that independent contractor position. Thanks for joining me in this journey through this fascinating landscape of employment dynamics. I know it's just riveting for most. If you enjoyed our discussion, don't forget to subscribe, hit the like button, and share this episode with your network. Maybe something you'd want to post on your social media or let other people know in your situation that you found the answer. Until next time, keep exploring, keep innovating, keep thriving. Go out there and get your work done. Thanks for your time.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Check us out on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter at People Processes. Go to peopleprocesses.com, subscribe, and get some of our subscriber-only content. And if you got something out of this, make sure you share it with anyone you know. Thank you for tuning in. Now it's time for you to go out there, have a great day, and get your work done.